It's 10 degrees warmer up here on this platform than it is anywhere else. This jacket might not last long. Matthew 27, verse 11. The one that got away. That's the title of this. The one that got away. The one that got away. So the verse that you're going to see is, "And Jesus stood before the governor." Are you seeing that right there? Is that what you're seeing in your Bible? "And Jesus stood before the governor." Matthew 27, verse 11. "And Jesus stood before the governor." Let us pray really quick. Lord, let us decrease as you increase. Let the Holy Spirit preach. Lord, let those that need this word get what they need out of it and let them apply it to their lives. Let us go out better than we came in. Lord, let us be real with you as your Spirit's real with us. In Jesus' name, amen. "And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus saith unto him, Thou sayest." What he's saying is, you said right. You said right. Jesus being judged by man. Jesus coming in to time who was out of time. Who was in eternity and stepped into time. Jesus stepped into time in a perfect time to be crucified. Does that make sense? He jumped into time, the perfect time to be crucified. If he had come any other time before or any other time later, see, we don't do crucifixion. Nobody does crucifixion anymore. Amen? The Romans had a special time and a special place with this governor named Pilate who had developed a way to kind of calm the masses. And he would, the Roman judge would bring someone before him and judge him immediately and give immediate response. It was a twofold factor to show they were serious and keep people under control. If you were having court today and being crucified this afternoon, you would more than likely not act up. Well, Jesus pressed and pressed and pressed until he got to the place where they could not do anything but take him to the cross. Just the other day, I made a social media post that said, I was talking about Jesus being on the cross. Somebody said something about religion and then something about something else. And somebody said, yep, that's what happened. Religious people put Jesus on the cross. And I want to say, amen, brother. But you know what put Jesus on the cross? Me and you. Our sins put Jesus on the cross. If you really want to get biblical about it, do you know what put Jesus on the cross? He did. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's God made a man and dwelt among us. He himself put himself on a cross to die for our sins. No man put him on a cross. No man held him on a cross. He chose, my God, he chose to be on a cross. Aren't you glad that he chose? He said, you know what? I don't have to. I can manipulate and press and push and make things happen. I can make these people want to take me to Pilate, and I can make Pilate surrender the fact, even though he didn't want to turn me. He was petty. He wanted the religious people to be upset with him, and he wanted to set Jesus free, but Jesus didn't want to be set free. He wanted to be crucified for the sins of the world, for my sins. Amen. See, some of y'all don't understand this. I like to personalize it. I always like to say my sins. I always want to remember that I'm no better than anybody else. My sin is ever before me. It's God and God alone. If God didn't save me, I didn't get saved by nobody. If there's ever a day that I stand up and say, oh, look what I did, I'm in the scariest place I'd ever want to be. But I like Jesus. He shows up and just at the right time. He always does that. He shows up just at the right time in everybody's life. I worry more about some people than others, but Pontius Pilate has an opportunity to do something with Jesus, but he's more worried about his position, his title, and his period of time of reign. If we're not careful, we'll be in that same position. We'll worry about everybody else. We'll worry about our title. We'll worry about who people think we are, and we'll miss eternity. Some of y'all need to write this down, make a note right here. Everybody I'm going to preach about tonight, everybody I'm going to speak about tonight is in eternity. Their time on the stage of life has come and gone. Our life, we're on the stage of life right now. Some of us are in the springtime, some of us are in the summertime, some of us are in the fall, and some of us are in the winter of our lives. But one day we'll march off the stage of life. There's only going to be one thing that matters. What did you do with Jesus? What did you do with Him? Not what you pretended to do. Not what looked good. See, Pontius Pilate did some things that looked really good. I'm serious. I'm going to do a play. I'm trying to write a play right now for spring, for Easter. But I see it. Pilate does some cool stuff. Pilate's like, hey, go get me a really nice chair and go get me a container of water. Make it in marble. Make it nice. Bring it to me. Some of y'all, we can do this, can't we? He puts his hands in that water and he's like, I'll wash my hands of this. And Jesus said, oh no, that don't work for him. There's only one kind of washing. It washes away. Hey man. There's only one thing you can be washed in that will absolve everything you need to be absolved. What you're doing is a temporal thing. Your hands will get dirty again. Amen? I love Him. I love Jesus. He stands there and He says, you say you're a king. I am. Not here. Because if you understood who I was, you'd understand that I am king. But He didn't. He didn't make a plea. Somebody, y'all need to write this down. Jesus didn't make a plea. We do. Right? We make pleas, but Jesus didn't. In verse 12, when He was accused of the chief priest and the elders, He answered nothing. That's verse 12. Then said Pilate unto Him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? Verse 14, He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. You hear what they're saying about you? Golly, we fight over a Facebook post. I think they're talking about me. They won't even use your name. I think they're talking about me. You hear something in the church, you will be mad, upset, and hurt for a month. I'm not going back down there until then. Somebody accused, somebody said, somebody offended, somebody made. Jesus Christ, who had never sinned, who had never committed a sin, who had never done anything wrong, stood right there and was accused by everybody. Listen, God, come on with me. I'm telling you, He was accused by people. He could have done this. He could have said, hey, that guy that just accused me last night. Amen? He was in his home, and I seen him do X, Y, and Z. God knows the heart. When one of them should, every time one of them would have stood up, He could have knocked them right down. Hey, remember on your birthday, that 21st birthday, and that party, and nobody remembers because you had it in Las Vegas? I was in Las Vegas. Oh, never mind. Y'all, sorry, I went real there for a second. Didn't go biblical times on you. Do you understand what I just said? He didn't fight back. He didn't fight for himself because he wasn't there to rescue himself. He wasn't there to save himself. He was there to take all the... God. See, if nobody else gets this, please get this, okay? Because I don't know if anybody else is even listening. It's Memorial Day weekend. We're cooking hamburgers in our minds. I want you to get this right now. Jesus took all the accusations that they were going to say about you. Amen? Everything is ever said about you. Everything, everybody talks about you. Everything they say about you. And some of it's probably true. Jesus took every one of those accusations for you. And He stood there. And Pontius Pilate, listen, there's not a human being on the face of this planet that don't need Jesus. Can I go a step further? There's not a person on the face of this planet that doesn't know they don't need Jesus. I hope I said that right. They know they need Him. Amen? Some just fight a lot harder. Amen? But in their hearts and in their minds, when they're in their places of sleep and rest, and they're wrestling. They just need to let go, but they won't. Pontius Pilate's one of those guys. He knows better. He just won't let go. I was one of those guys for 30 years, and I wouldn't let go. I liked
my title. I liked who I was. I wanted to manipulate the situation. I knew how to go to church, though. I was raised in church. I can go to church. Amen? Anybody else can go to church? All you got to know, it's like a roller coaster ride. All you got to do is know when to scream, put your hands up, put your hands down. Hey, you just got to know when to get off the ride. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I knew the language. I just didn't know the Savior. I knew the songs. I just didn't know who they were singing about. I knew the message, but I never let it get in my heart. I never let it change me. I would do temporal changes, but I wouldn't do eternal changes. I'm really going to preach if you don't watch it. I would come to an altar, but I would leave the same way. I would get excited in church and leave and live like the devil. Knew I had a calling on my life, but ran from it because I didn't want to give up my sin. Whew, y'all going to mess around and get me to preaching. He stood there, and Pilate marveled. Because Pilate knew that was real power. Here's a man who won't defend himself, and everything about him is defending himself. I should surrender. I wish the Bible wasn't the way it was sometimes. We did this in the play, but I wish it was really in the Bible. I wish Pilate would stand up and take off his head covering and take off his garment and say, you know what, forget this, I need you. Hey, forget this, man. I'm phony. I'm pretending like I got power and I got none. I wish I had what you have. Can you save me? Can you save somebody who pretends like they got control? Can you save somebody who's pretending like they got power? Can you save somebody who's pretending like they know what's going on? Because I really don't. I got a title and I got a position and I got some authority and I can write my name and I can make a stamp and people think I know what I'm doing. But really, when I get in the presence of God, I know I'm missing a whole lot of what I need. I would like to become like a child. I wish I could take all this stuff off and just get on the floor and say, God, save me. I want you to be my king. I don't want the Roman Empire to be my king anymore. I want you to be my king. But he never does that. He never does that. Man, I keep reading that Bible. I've read it in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I keep waiting for Pontius Pilate to go, you know what? I messed up! I let Jesus slip through my hands! All because I wanted to be in charge. All because I thought I was in control. I wish I could go back and get that vase and put my hands in it. I wish to pick that vase up and throw it down and say, oh God, would you wash me? Would you wash me? I don't want to wash myself. Will you wash me? I guarantee you, 2,000 years later, it's been 2,000 years since that man judged Christ. I'll bet you if we could pull him up in this room, he would be the greatest evangelist speaker we've ever had. Y'all don't like this, but you know what? I found the greatest evangelist in the Bible. It's a man. It's a rich man. He's the greatest evangelist in the New Testament. If you ever read about him, it'll sound something like this. Lazarus looked into a place of torment, and there was a rich man. You know what he said? He said, I got five brothers. Will you send Lazarus back up there to him and tell them about this place? If somebody could break out of eternity tonight, let's just go one step further. If somebody could break out of hell tonight, they would come in here and they would dispense with all the beautiful stuff. And they would say, there's a place of torment that you better not waste your time and make it to. That's all he said. He was a rich man. He wanted for nothing. He didn't say, go back and tell my five brothers that car and that chariot and those horses and that one plot of land, because some of y'all say dumb stuff. Well, if my so-and-so could come back up here and see. If your so-and-so could come back, they would say, get saved. And if you're saved, tell everybody else about Jesus and hell and heaven until you die. Period. Get busy. They don't care about the stuff. They don't care about the pews. They don't care about the carpet. They don't care about the walls. That, listen, if you really get right down to it, that stuff will take care of itself. Whew. Told you. Somebody must have prayed before this service.
Because I usually don't preach this hard on Sunday night. Thank God we are, though, right? Amen. It'll be all right. Don't worry. Therefore, 13. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou? Verse 15. Now at the feast of the governors was wont to release unto them a people, a prisoner, whom they would. Now at the feast, the governor would want to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had not, at that time they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Aren't you glad there's a Barabbas in the book? I know y'all have heard this before. I ain't going to get all twisted up in it, but I love it. Every time I read it, I love it. Barabbas means son of a man. That's his name. His name is basically son of a man. That's what it translates. I bet when he was growing up, he had the most generic name. Thanks, Dad. My name literally means son of my dad. Thanks. Couldn't get all creative, nothing. Just son of my dad. That's old Bill's boy. Son of his father, just a generic name, just a blank. Just really, it don't mean much. Amen? Don't mean much. Until one Passover weekend, and he's sitting on death row. A murderer, a thief, a rebel. Yeah, about all three except the murderer part. But I set out to kill some people. Sorry. Never mind. I said, hey, never mind. It's like, wait a minute, we've got to start relooking that pastor deal, right? The only reason I probably never killed nobody is by the grace of God. And the only reason I'm not in prison right now for my whole life is by the grace of God. So if you ever look up here and say, I wonder what that guy's done. Everything that I have done, there's a lot of things I've done that I didn't get caught, and I should have, but I didn't, and I don't take it lightly. But by the grace of God, right? Where's I going with that thought? Somebody help me. Oh, Barabbas on death row on a Passover weekend, right? Just one Passover weekend. Thousands of years after they've been doing Passover. Gets through in jail for insurrection. He's a rebel. He's a murderer and a thief. And he's sitting down there with two other thieves, and they're on death row. And they got no other calls to make. They got nobody else to reach out to. They got nobody else to call. They got no more appeals. They got no more lawyer call. They got no nothing. Nobody that can come and help. Two thieves in there. Old guy named Barabbas, the son of his father, son of man. Sitting on death row. Maybe talking with them other guys. Man, I can't believe they're going to kill us. I can't believe it's going to happen. But they can hear a ruckus upstairs. And next thing you know, a man, listen, they didn't come down and get thief on the right side or thief on the left side. They come and got the man with the most generic name, period, Barabbas, son of the man. Barabbas, it's your lucky day. Murderer, thief, and a rebel. We're taking you up. What are y'all going to do now? The governor wants to set somebody free. Jesus shown up right during the governor, this governor who reigned, who had a little loophole in the law that he could set somebody free, and it was legally justified. And that governor was sitting there thinking, you know what? I'm not going to have to kill Jesus after all. I can do something. They won't listen to me. We can do something real neat with Jesus. See, what I'll do is I'll deal with him a little bit, and then I'm going to push him on to the next guy. Amen? During this situation, his wife sends message down to him and says, listen, I've had a dream about this man. Don't have anything to do with him. You know what she's saying? God's telling me, and he's telling you one more time. Some of y'all need to listen to what I'm about to say. God has told you so many times. Don't let it run out on you. Amen? Because God sends people to you. If you go back in the New Testament, I love this. Y'all remember the wise men? Y'all remember when the wise men came and they were seeking for Jesus? They were looking for him everywhere, and they went to the king and they said,
Have you seen the? Have you seen Jesus? The Messiah was supposed to be born. He's supposed to be the king. He's like, well, where is he? We'd like to worship him too. Amen. Well, they got down there and they seen Jesus and they worshiped Jesus. And then they had a dream. And when they had that dream, it says, don't go back to the king. Go out another way. And guess what? They did, because they're wise men. And they heeded the dream. Do you know who another dreamer is? Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer, wasn't he? We preached about his wife earlier today. Joseph, the night he got, remember when Mary broke the news to him? We're having a son. I know we're not married. I know we've not had sex. I know that. But it's God give me the baby. Never mind, I'm sorry. That'd be a hard one to swallow. I know. I'm gonna pray about putting you away privately. Because I want to kill you. Yeah, some of y'all spiritual dudes in here, y'all like, I would do the same. I want to kill you, but I ain't. I want to, but I'm praying about it. And I think I'm going to put you away privately. That means we're gonna go our separate ways, and we're not going to stone you to death, but you'll walk around and everybody will know who you are. But he went to bed that night, and God woke him up with a dream, said, go ahead. You know, man, can I kick the tires on that message just a little bit? We ain't got nowhere else to go, do it. We're off tomorrow. Just kick around on the tires just a little bit. That dream, he says, hey, it's okay. It is of me. Hey, God, that's tough. As a man, it'd be a tough one. Hey, I want you to raise somebody. I want you to raise my son. I know he's not yours, but I want you to raise mine. Come on. Mike, hey, his name's going to be Jesus. You don't get to name him. But I want you to raise him. And everybody's going to talk about y'all. And everybody's going to run you down. But I want you to do, I've chosen you. You know what my first response was? You probably got the wrong guy. I mean, I could get angry about this situation. Because, Jesus, you could have come and told me first. But I'm like the third person to know now. And I might have a little bit of stuff built up in me. And when I get mad, I might say, hey, you know, why didn't... So maybe this is going to be a tough call. Come on, y'all. Hey, think about this. Could you imagine Joseph leading Mary on that donkey up to Bethlehem? And he's like, man, I got to take care of this. Even though it's not mine. He bought in. Something that was hard. You're talking about some ministries. Oh Lord, give me Samson. Hey, give me John the Baptist. But don't let me be the stepdad to Jesus. And y'all remember what happened when they took him to the temple. They lost him. How'd that feel? You know what the devil did? He rolled up on his shoulder. You can't even keep Jesus. Some of y'all... Can anybody else say that? Chris, has the devil ever told you that? Can't even keep Jesus. I give you one thing. I give you the greatest thing there is. And you can't even keep him. This is the good news. You ain't got to keep him. He keeps you. I ain't got to, my gosh. I ain't got to keep him. He keeps me. My favorite part of the story. They went and looked through everybody in their family. They went and searched everybody for Jesus. Seen him? Got him? Huh? They went one day out, took them 3 days to get back. Jesus sitting in the temple just like I'm sitting right here, teaching like I'm teaching y'all. And they come back in. His mom, we've been looking for you. What have you been looking at? Woo! Woo! That hurts. I've been looking for you, Jesus. Where you been looking? All the wrong places. Yeah. How about the last place you seen me? Because that's where I am. Amen. Ain't that cool? That's Joseph's life. Amen. That's Joseph's life. That's the calling. But here's this guy. He's in the prison. They said, what are we going to do? We're going to bring you up here, and we're going to see who we're going to set free or who we're going to keep. And he's sitting there thinking, man, this is a done deal. We're going to get rid of that Barabbas is going to be crucified. And guess what? Jesus, we're going to set him free. And they're going to be mad. And I've done my part. And all of a sudden, the crowd starts screaming out, Barabbas! Let Barabbas go! And Barabbas is going, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you're not going to let the guy who heals and teaches and delivers and kicks out demons, and you're going to let the guy who's a murderer and a thief, amen, and a rebel loose in your town? You mean you would rather have me running loose than Jesus running loose? Sounds like America in 2018 to me. Amen. We'd rather have the devil running loose than Jesus running loose. Pontius Pilate can't believe it. And they're screaming out. He goes, what has he done? They want Jesus to be crucified. Crucify! 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 And now we watch it and we read it and we think, man, those people are so dumb. We say stuff like this. Just a few days before that, they were screaming, Hosanna! Hosanna! Save now! And look how dumb they are now. They're sitting there saying, crucify the same man. I've been there and done that too. Amen? Can I tell y'all a secret? It's not a secret, just between us. If you gave me the opportunity right now, and Jesus was standing on that stage, and Barabbas was standing there, and Jesus was standing there, you know what I would say? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. And then I would follow it up with, save now. Hosanna. Crucify him. Hosanna. Because see, if he's not crucified, we're not saved. Tears running down my eyes. Heart beating out of my chest. I would scream out as loud as any of them there. Oh God, crucify him for my sins and let Barabbas go. Let Kevin go. Let Kevin go. Can you put your name there? Let you one that got away. I see him a lot. I see him walking off that platform. In my mind, I just see him walking every step, walking, looking around, going, I can't believe I'm going free. I can't believe he's going to die for my sins. I can't believe he's in the way for me. I can't believe he came in the worst. He came at the last hour. He come when nobody else could save me. He come when nobody else could rescue me. I was just a generic name man. I'm sitting on death row and nobody could ever save me and nobody could ever change me and nobody could ever reach me and everybody's prayed for me, but I've run out of time and I've run out of people to come for me, but he came for me when nobody else could come. I wonder if his walk turned into a sprint, it turned into a crawl, it turned into him somewhere outside the cities of Jerusalem saying, thank you, God, for a lamb that takes away sins of the world. But not only that, takes away my sin. Can you see yourself as Barabbas today? I surely can, because I am the one who got away. I got away. August 28th of 04. Jesus come and found me in a dark place. I thought he'd done give up on me. I thought he had quit coming after me. I thought I'd avoided him and evaded him. I thought that I escaped all the prayers. But somebody let loose a prayer, and God let loose one of those heavenly hound dog angels, and it finally ran me down in a single wide trailer in Chatsworth, Georgia. And there's where I became saved. And that's where Jesus took my place. Kevin, you can go free. And I'll be crucified for you. Have you ever had that opportunity? Have you ever had that happen in your life? Or are you like Pontius Pilate?